All right, welcome to Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Everybody, please take your seats and grab a red book. First song we're going to be singing is song 170, Hallelujah, What a Savior. Song 170. Song 170 on the first. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song will sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. All right, Brother Christian, can you please open us up with a word of prayer? Amen. All right, next song we're going to be singing is song 153, How Firm a Foundation. 153 in your hymn books. How Firm a Foundation. 153 on the first.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled, in every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as your days may demand, shall your strength ever be. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine, e'en down to old age, All my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus have leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
All right, now for some announcements.
All right, welcome to True Foundation Baptist Church Wednesday night service. If you need a bulletin, raise your hand. It's the same one as last Sunday. Let's look at the verse of the week, Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. What an awesome verse, you know, just talking about, you know, how God's people should be operating, having one spirit, one mind, and have the goal of sharing the faith. And on the inside page, we're on YouTube, Facebook, Rumble, and X. I'm back on X, okay, so it's time to wreak havoc again. service time Sunday morning at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and of course, Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. will be in Ruth chapter number 2 tonight, since we started a new book last Wednesday. Soul winning time this Saturday, local soul winning at 10:30. And Sunday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. And we will have a Gary soul winning marathon this Saturday as well. But we still have the local time here. But the Gary one will be, you know, I post the detail on Facebook. I'll post in the group. We'll meet at 9:30 at a McDonald's Central Standard Time. Okay, so it's I think it's 10:30 our time. But yeah, I will post the detail if you are going to Gary. Also, the Mega Sony Marathon is April 4th. We'll have a Indy location as well as a Chicago location. If you live close to Indy, attend Indy. If you live close to Chicago, go to Chicago. Do not crisscross, because we want people to show up at both locations, okay? So do not be, you know, just, yeah, whatever. Also, Lord's Supper service is this coming Sunday, okay? This coming Sunday. So not next Sunday, but this coming Sunday. We'll, you know, the whole afternoon service will be dedicated to observing the Lord's Supper. So there'll be, you know, likely a shorter service. I'll still, you know, show you some verses on that. So just make sure that, you know, people have to be saved and baptized. It's a serious gathering. It's a solemn assembly. So just so you guys know. It will be homebred, unleavened bread, plus, you know, high-quality organic grape juice, okay, because church food should be held to a higher standard. My wife will be baking the unleavened bread, so it's homemade, not the store-bought, you know, crackers or whatever. Because when I imagine breaking bread, it's actually a bread, not a piece of cracker. You know, that's my thought. You know, if people do the cracker, you know, I'm not really against that. And then Easter service is on April 5th, and please use the sign-up sheet because it's coming up really, really fast. We also have a men's preaching night that afternoon, so please let me know if you're planning on preaching. Let me know your sermon topic as well. Let's see. Money matters is for you to see. There's no birthdays coming up. That's all for the announcement. Let's sing one more song. We'll take up the offering, then we'll have our prayer time.
All right, next song we're going to be singing is song 150, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place, song 150. 150.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me.
All right, Brother Matt, can you please step up? Please pray for the offering. Amen.
right, we'll be continuing our study in the book of Ruth. We'll be in Ruth chapter 2 this evening. Ruth chapter 2, the Bible reads, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men, that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned, and she brought forth, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Brother Wade, could you pray in his service?
Lord, continue to pray for the health of our church, Lord, and to give us strength to go forward and continue to preach the gospel in our community and abroad. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, on Wednesday night, we're going through the book of Ruth, and last week we talked about Ruth chapter number 1. Basically, the story was about how this guy, Elimelech, took his family to Moab because there was a famine in Judah, and his two sons took two daughters of Moab to wife, and Elimelech and his two sons died in Moab, and Naomi, which is Elimelech's wife, and Ruth, which is Naomi's daughter-in-law, came back to Judah. Okay, so that's chapter number 1, and today we'll be in chapter number 2, and the title of the sermon tonight is Stay in the Field. Stay in the Field, and probably going to be a shorter sermon. So point number 1 tonight is a providential encounter, a providential encounter. Look at verse number 1, Ruth chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, the word kinsman means a relative, someone who is near of kin. And here we have this person, Boaz. Boaz is a kinsman to Elimelech. Verse number 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now, I wanted to pay attention to the attributes of Ruth. And we have all heard about Proverbs 31 and how that, you know, is a chapter of a virtuous woman. But do you know that Ruth was the only person in the Bible that was called the virtuous woman? Go to Ruth chapter 3. Look at verse number 11. Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. The Bible says, and now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people that know that thou art a virtuous woman. So Ruth was referred to as a virtuous woman. Obviously, we have Proverbs 31. The whole chapter is talking about the virtuous woman, but Ruth was, you know, the woman that was given this title. Keep a place in Ruth. Go forward to Proverbs 31. And my point is that Ruth is not lazy. Ruth did not sit around and wait for some miracles. Instead, she went to work. Okay, because Ruth told Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. You know, Ruth is a hard worker. Obviously, we think it's ideal for women to stay home. But if they are widows or if they have real financial struggles, maybe, you know, they're... you know, husbands left them or something like that. You know, I don't think it's really wrong for them to work, but, you know, ideally they should be, you know, centered around the home, having their family, husbands, providing for them. But Proverbs 31, women is a hard worker. Okay, look at verse number 13. Proverbs 31, verse number 13. And the Bible says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Okay, obviously we can read more, but the point is a virtuous woman is also a hard worker, right? You know, in this chapter, she is making sure that her family is provided for. She's making clothes, you know. She even plans things, providing things, you know, buying a field. She's just trying to, you know, figure out ways to provide for her family. That's why I believe every single lady should be hard workers. Okay, you know, even if you are blessed to stay home, don't just sit around and do nothing. Find some work to do. Find some things to do. Especially if someone is not married and they still, you know, live at their parents' house, stay at your parents' house, you know, they need to stay busy, right? Take some classes online, learn how to cook, learn how to do houseworks, read books, right? Pick up a musical instrument, because you need to saturate your life with quality things to do, right? So, you know, you can find a lot of things to do to plan your schedule out while at home. Okay, and if you are married but don't have kids yet, you know, still find some things to do. Set a schedule when you are going to read your Bible, pray, read other books, right? cook, practice musical instrument, research things to make your family better. Don't just be on your phones and scroll through Instagram reel, okay? You know, find something productive. You know, if you feel like you are idle at home, just set a schedule. Hey, from, you know, 8 to 9, read your Bible, pray, maybe practice your instrument for like an hour or two, research a subject, trying to learn something new every single day, every week, right? Saturate your schedule with quality things. Go back to Ruth chapter 2. And if you're married and have kids, you know, you will be busy, okay? Now in that case, you know, learn to manage your time so you can get things done. Especially if you have 3-4 kids, you know, sometimes kids can be overwhelming. Hey, schedule things out, learn to manage your time, okay? So be like Ruth. Ruth has a mindset to work because she is a virtuous woman, okay? Ruth chapter 2, look at verse number 3. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 3. By the way, you know, if you are idle, just go to ChatGPT. That's my preferred AI, okay? You know, I'm going to start a war over that. You know, you can simply plug in your daily activity. You know, it will plot your schedule, okay? And then you can modify it or whatever. But Ruth chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." So notice the wording here. The Bible says, her hap was to, okay? The word hap means happen. It means to befall, event, change. Basically, the word hap means chance. So the Bible is saying that Ruth, by chance, came to the field which belonged to Boaz. She just happened to end up at Boaz's field. Okay, don't miss the wording here. She by chance, you know, came to Boaz's field. By the way, her job was not to light the field on fire. Okay, to light on means to come upon or to arrive at. That's just a, you know, old expression, right? It's not lighting field on fire like Joab and, you know, people in the book of Judges. Okay, and I like the wording in this verse because the Bible says she by chance came to the field. To me, that's providential. Because from a human perspective, this is a coincidence, right? But from God's perspective, this is providence. Because it looks random. And the text makes it seem to be random, but it wasn't really random. And Ruth may have thought that it was chance, but God was, you know, planning her future, right? And, you know, I've heard this quote spoken by several preachers that there are no accidents in the Christian life. There are no accidents in the Christian life. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 9, "A man's heart deviseth his way." See, man plans, but the Lord directeth his steps. See, what looks like chance to us is God's plan behind the scenes. Think about this, you know. You think you just took a job. You apply to multiple places, and just one random employer called you back, and you end up working with someone who later invites you to church and just get you saved, right? You know, all these events may seem to be chance, but it's really, you know, God directing the steps. And you may just, you know, think that you just bought a house due to price or location. And one deal falls through, and another deal, you know, opens up last minute. And then you move in, and then you meet a neighbor, and you share the gospel with her, and she gets saved, right? See, there's no accidents in your Christian life, you know? And or you can think about that as, like, you knock on a door, thinking they will never open the door, and then a person opens the door and tells you, "Hey, I was thinking about God today. I was just going through some rough times. You know, I was just asking the same question," right? That's why, hey, don't take the random events for granted, right? Everything, you know, again, I'm not preaching Calvinism, okay? I'm talking about providence, because you still need to make the right choice to do the right thing, right? God might put someone in your way for you to share the gospel, but you still have to be willing to share the gospel. See, if God helps you to get your job, but you never open your mouth and talk about the gospel, you still have zero influence, right? You still have to do your part, but there's no accidents in the Christian life. So So point number one, I talk about a providential encounter. Point number two, a godly man. Ruth chapter 2, look at verse number 4. Ruth 2, 4. The Bible says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." Here the Bible talks more about this person named Boaz. And the first thing that you notice about Boaz is that he is a good boss. He came to his company and told his workers, God bless you. Okay, that's pretty amazing, right? And verse number 5 says, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was over the reapers, Whose damsel is this?" Here Boaz noticed Ruth. Now, I don't think Boaz is hitting on her at this point, you know. He probably just noticed a new person, right? What damsel is this? Don't read too much into these stories, all right? Look at verse number 6. "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and had continued even from the evening until continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." Now here we have the similar attributes about Ruth, that Ruth was a hard worker, because Ruth had a reputation, she had a good reputation among other workers, right? Notice a servant told Boaz what Ruth has done, right? She has asked them to glean after the reapers, okay? So Ruth had a good reputation among other workers, okay? Now, here's my side point. Your testimony matters. Even before Boaz meets her personally, he hears about her, right? You know, I think that's pretty, you know, practical, because what would your coworkers say about you? What would your family members, even if they don't like you, say about you? You know, I hate his beliefs, but he's a hard worker. Hey, that's a great testimony, right? I disagree with her position, but I know she's an honest person. That's a good testimony, okay? Now, keep blessing Ruth. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Your testimony matters, okay? Obviously, when you are preaching the truth, when you are standing upon what is right, people are going to despise you, but, you know, at least they should acknowledge that you are honest, that you're a hard worker, right? They may talk crap about your position against salvation, against Zionism, against the Sodomites. You know, I don't really care, but are you a hard worker? You know, the basic attributes, right? 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 7. This is one of the qualifications of a pastor or an elder. 1 Timothy 3, 7 says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, to those people who are outside of faith, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." So the Bible says a pastor must have a good report of the outsiders, right? See, even though people may not like someone's position, at least they should acknowledge they are hard workers. At least they should feel pleasant to be with you because you are honest, because you work hard, because you are gentle and nice, right? That should be a good testimony to not just the pastors, but everyone, okay? And, you know, I believe Christians should be one of the hardest workers. You know, don't give them any bargaining chip to attack us, okay? We must have good report of them that are without. Again, not talking about compromise, not talking about compromising Bible truth, but man, if you are working at your company, you should be honest, you should work hard, and you should try your best to help your boss. Okay, that's a good testimony. That's having a good report of them that are which are without. By the way, the Bible says he must have a good report, right? You know, if you ask my company, you know, they love me, you know, even though they heard about the news. Okay, so I think that's a good testimony. So let's go back to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter number 2. You know, it's a blessing to work at my company, because if I work at any other company, you know, I will be fired. So, right? I mean, yeah. So I said point number one, a providential encounter. Point number one, a providential encounter. Point number two, a godly man. Point number three, A picture of Christ. A picture of Christ. Ruth 2, verse 8. The Bible says, Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So here Boaz offered Ruth provision. Boaz told Ruth to stay in his field and don't go elsewhere. Okay, verse number 9. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young man have drawn. So Boaz not only offered Ruth provision, but Boaz also offered Ruth protection, because he has commanded the young man not to touch her, right? That is protection. But you know, Boaz also offered Ruth favor, because he allowed her to drink from what the young man drew. Okay, so Boaz offered Ruth provision, protection, as well as favor. Now the question is Boaz hitting on her here? I don't really think so. You know, I think Boaz just noticed this new hardworking woman and offer her provision, protection, and favor. Maybe, you know, she knew that she was a widow. You know, in fact, he did know that she was a widow. That's why he gave her some extra care. That's a good boss. Amen. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Keep replacing Ruth. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Look at verse number 17. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 17. The Bible says this: Thou shalt not pervert, that means to twist, the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou was abominable in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing: when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. Don't miss this: that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand. So when they are, you know, reaping the harvest, they're not supposed to take the leftovers, right? Maybe something drop on the ground or something like that. You know, these are meant to be saved for the foreigners, fatherless, and the widow, right? And, you know, if you do that, the Bible says, and the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. The Bible is teaching that we are supposed to show compassion to the poor and needy so that God can bless us, right? We're not supposed to rip people off, even though it may be legal. Amen? You know, even though the U.S. law may allowing you to, like, rip people off, quote-unquote, but that does not mean it is biblical, okay? You know, when I think about this, you know, I couldn't just help, you know, this is a highly controversial, okay? Probably more controversial than my last Sunday evening's sermon. Girl Scouts cookie. And, you know, I mean, it's often $6 to $7 a box. But if you go to, you know, Walmart, just buy a store brand box, it's only cost $3. To me, you are teaching those young girls early just to rip people off, you know. That's my thought. Again, I'm not trying to start a war here, okay? You know, I'm already blacklisted, but, you know, but to me, like, again, you know, I like cookies, okay? Okay, whatever. Moving on. Look at verse number 20. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the bold, that means the branch again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyards, and thou shalt not glean it afterward, it shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou was a bondman in the land of Egypt, therefore I command thee to do this thing. So why are we supposed to show compassion to the poor and needy and to take care of them? It's because the Israelites, they were once a bondman, right? You know, obviously you can compare that to your salvation. Before you were saved, you were going to hell. Now that God saved you, hey, you can show, you know, that's why, you know, it's that's why it's great for you to show compassion to other people, right? And Boaz did not just allow Ruth the widow to gleaned the field. Boaz amplified it. You know, Boaz gave him extra. Boaz did not just do the bare minimum. He went above and beyond the law because he really cared about the poor. He really cared about the widow, and he really cared about Ruth. That's why, you know, if you are a leader in any type of capacity, you know, Boaz should be your role model. Boaz honors God. Boaz respects the poor, and Boaz protects the vulnerable. That's a good boss, okay? Let's go back to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter number 2. By the way, Boaz is a picture of Christ throughout the story. Obviously, you can draw a lot of parallels between, you know, how God, you know, treats us, right? Ruth chapter 2, look at verse number 10. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 10. By the way, you know, I'm not dissing on, you know, kids selling stuff, because last Sunday, you know, they were selling lemonade for like $1 per cup. You know, I think that is reasonable. You know, price gouging is not reasonable, okay? Yeah. Look at verse number 10. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" So here, Boaz showed Ruth grace, right? Because Ruth said, "Hey, why have I found grace in Boaz's eyes?" And Ruth was a stranger to Boaz's country. Just like before we were saved, we were strangers from the covenants of promise. Ruth was an outsider to the nation of Israel. Just like before we were saved, we were outsiders of the spiritual nation, right? But despite of all that, Boaz showed Ruth favor and grace. Just like when we are saved, God gives us grace, right? There are a lot of, you know, great parallels here. And Ruth went to the field so she can find grace. Now she found it. Let's go back to verse number 2 again. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." So Ruth went to the field so that she can find grace, but now she found grace in verse number 10 through Boaz. And, you know, one detail that's pretty fascinating is that Ruth didn't say, "I shall earn grace." Ruth said, "I shall find grace." And then Ruth went to the right place and she found grace in Boaz. Right? That's why in verse number 10, Ruth said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" So Ruth acknowledged that she has found grace in Boaz, even though she was a stranger. So Ruth was basically saying that she didn't belong. "I don't deserve this. I was an outsider. I was a stranger, but you show me grace anyway." And that's exactly how grace works. That is exactly how salvation works. Because it doesn't matter about your background, you know, country of origin, history. But if you come to Christ and ask him to save you, he will show you the grace that you don't even deserve. Right? A perfect picture of salvation here. Look at verse number 11. Ruth chapter 2, verse 11. By the way, Ruth, you know, was a Moabite, okay? Again, that's another picture of, you know, it doesn't matter about your blood lineage. Ruth 2:11, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It had fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and are come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." So here Boaz gives the reason why he treated her well. Notice, the reason Boaz had treated Ruth well was that he has heard how Ruth treated Naomi after her husband died. Don't miss the detail here. He heard how Ruth left everything behind and came to Judah. He heard how Ruth has followed and trusted the Lord. Notice the reason. You know, obviously, you know, Boaz knew that she was a widow, but you know, also Boaz realized that, you know, Ruth has treated Naomi well, and Ruth has left everything behind and came to Judah, a strange foreign land to her, right? That means Ruth was loyal, right? Ruth did not depart from Naomi. You know, Naomi treated her well, and Ruth paid back in return. And, in our Christian life, we should be loyal to the people that have, you know, invested in us, right? You know, not just stabbing them in the back and being passive aggressive, amen? So, you know, Ruth followed Naomi. You know, Ruth showed loyalty because Naomi has invested in Ruth. And here's another lesson that, you know, we need to treat our fellow brothers and sisters well. And obviously we should treat all men well, okay, but especially our own. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Right? Treat your fellow brothers well. Treat people well. Look at verse number 13. Ruth 2:13 says this. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens." And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. Now, there are so many things in this passage, so I just unpack it a little bit. So Boaz allowed Ruth to eat with the reapers, and Boaz actually took the parched corn, that's dried grain. You know, Boaz took the parched corn and gave to Ruth. Notice the wording in verse number 14. And he reached her parched corn, right? So Boaz, you know, took the parched corn and gave it to Ruth. And Ruth did eat, and, you know, she was not only full, but she has leftovers, okay? Now, go forward to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Keep a place in the book of Ruth. And that's a, you know, beautiful picture, because Ruth was an outsider. And when Ruth found grace, Boaz allowed her to sit with the other reapers, and Boaz personally served her, right? That's pretty amazing. Go to Matthew 20, look at verse 27. Matthew 20, verse 27. The Bible says this, "And whosoever will be chief among you, if you are a leader, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man," talking about Jesus, "came not to be ministered unto you, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." The word minister means to serve, right? Leaders need to, you know, have the followers' best interest in mind, trying to help them, trying to serve them, trying to help them grow, you know? Obviously, leaders need to execute command and decision-making, but leaders should also be kind to his followers, right? You know, trying to help them grow, just like Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, right? What he do for us ultimately is to give his life for us, right? That's the ultimate service, right? Go back to Ruth 2. And that's a perfect picture of salvation too, because we were outsiders and then we were brought near, right? And when we were saved, God did not just give us scraps and, you know, dirt or leftovers. God filled us, right? And he does not just give us enough. He gives us overflow. Because God's grace is so abundant, and it covers all of your sins, past, present, and future. That's why, you know, Boaz gave Ruth this dried parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And this also pictures that, you know, God feeds you through his word, right? Because Boaz reached the corn and gave it to Ruth. Because what is a spiritual food? The word of God, right? The manna from heaven, the bread from heaven. See, the world out there leaves you empty, but if you're in the word of God, it fills you. The word of God actually satisfies you, right? So there are so many parallels and pictures you can draw from this passage. But look at Ruth chapter 2, verse 15. Ruth 2:15 says this, "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Now, that's some special treatment here, because Boaz commanded his men to leave stuff on the floor just on purpose so that Ruth can glean them, okay? So, yeah, special treatment. Verse 17, "So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed." And, you know, one detail I want to point out in this passage is that Ruth shared with Naomi what he had gleaned. Okay, so the obvious lesson is when God blesses you, share it with others, right? When God bless you with salvation, with the gospel, hey, share the good news with other people, right? And when God, you know, fills you with the word of God, hey, share the nutrient with other people, right? If God blesses you, be a blessing to someone else, okay? So Ruth shared that with Naomi. So point number one, I talk about a providential encounter. Point number two, a godly man. Point number three, a picture of Christ. And lastly, point number four, a divine setup. A divine setup. Ruth 2, look at verse 19. "And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today, and where routest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Now, I will talk more about the laws about the kinsman redeemer, maybe in the future chapters. But Naomi, you know, here realized that God has not forsaken her. Because in verse number 20, Naomi said, hey, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And go back to Ruth chapter 1, look at verse number 20, Ruth 1:20. Because in Ruth chapter 1, Naomi recognized that God was actually afflicting her. Ruth 1:20 says this, "And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very, very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty had afflicted me?" So Naomi, back in chapter 1, realized that, you know, God has testified against them for, you know, going to Moab. So she chose to go back to Bethlehem where the bread was, and God started blessing her, right? That's why, go back to Ruth chapter 2, let's look at verse number 20 again. Ruth 2:20, after she went back, Ruth 2:20, "And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who had not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Okay, so Naomi received blessing through Ruth after they went back to Bethlehem. So here's the lesson. If you're away from God, if you feel there's emptiness in your life, you know, just return to God and God will provide for you and God will bless you, right? And notice it's the same God that gives Naomi her affliction as well as her provision. And this proves that God can either bless you or curse you, depends on what you do or where you go in your life, right? If you go to Moab, God's gonna afflict you, punish you. But if you go back to where you're supposed to be, if you go back to where the bread is, I mean, if you go back to the house of God and stay where you're supposed to be at, and God will bless your life. Okay? I mean, that's a great picture here. Look at verse 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that I meet thee not in any other field. Now the question is Naomi setting them up here? You know, maybe, because she definitely sees the possibility, since in verse 20, Naomi has expressed that Boaz was the next kinsman, okay? So maybe Naomi realized the opportunity, maybe she was setting it up, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'll arrange marriage, that'll be another topic. Look at verse number 23. And she, Ruth, kept fast, means she was cleaving, sticking by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest and dwell with her mother-in-law. So Ruth was a faithful worker. Ruth was being super, super consistent. And Ruth didn't leave the field of blessing. She chose to stay there. Notice, Ruth kept fast. She claimed she, you know, she just stuck by the maidens and to glean unto the end of barley harvest and to the wheat harvest. So she stayed till the end of the harvest seasons. Okay? Now, barley harvest is likely early spring. Now, wheat harvest follows after that. So, you know, this could last several weeks, maybe a couple months or something like that. So the point is, you know, Ruth did not leave the field of blessing. Ruth stayed there after she met Boaz, after Boaz provided for her. So Ruth stayed at the right place, right? Ruth found where the blessing was, and she stayed there. And she did not just get the blessing and left. Right? She stayed there. That's why, you know, I tell people, don't keep bouncing around. Stay where God is providing. Don't just bouncing around churches, bouncing around Bible versions, you know, bouncing around, you know, just like everything in your life, okay? Don't just have a good day. Have a faithful life. Right? Ruth chose to, you know, keep fast. Ruth chose to stay there. See, it's easy to show up once, but it's hard to stay, right? Be like Ruth, be committed, hey, staying in the field, like Ruth. Hey, be three to thrive. Amen. Not just once a week, but, you know, every week, right? You know, stay in the field of Bible reading, stay in the field of praying, stay in the field of be generous and be kind to people, right? Stay in the field. Stay where the bread is, and that's what Ruth did. And because she did that, next week and the week after, we will see an amazing redemption story because she stayed where the blessing is, right? So, you know, I would just say to people who come to this church, hey, stay where the blessing is, right? And, you know, stay through the hard times, smooth times. And chapter 1 talks about a tragedy, talking about a famine and Moab and all kind of ordeals, death. But chapter 2 shows a beautiful redemption story that is about to unfold. So come back next week to learn about Ruth chapter 3. Let's close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this chapter. Lord, I pray that we'll be faithful in the things of the Lord and stay where the blessing is and don't keep bouncing around back and forth. And just pray that we'll be faithful in our Bible reading and faithful in serving you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, amen. Last song we're going to be singing is song 142 in your hymn books, Old Time Religion, song 142. Song 142. It was good for our mothers, it was good for our mothers, it was good for our mothers, and is good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, 'tis the old time religion, and it's good enough for me.
It has saved our fathers. It has saved our fathers. It has saved our fathers. And it's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. And it's good enough for me. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. It will do when I'm dying. And it's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. And it's good enough for me. It will take us to heaven. It will take us to heaven. It will take us to heaven. And it's good enough for me. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. 'Tis the old time religion. And it's good enough for me.
Brother Stephen, can you please close out in a word of prayer? Amen. You are dismissed.